Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay, 2A a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, on the corner of Trashview and Nada Vista. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenating radio waves. Please, put on your 3D glasses now. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working?
Yes.
Can you feel it, Michael and Nick?
Yes.
Aw, yeah. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
I will. Thank you.
So, how's Nick, everyone doing?
I'm well. I'm extraordinarily well. I'm nifty. Nick, I hear the hum. I've decided what it is. We were trying to get this during the break. So, here's what you're going to do while I talk to V for a minute. Grab a t-shirt you're not using and mute your mic completely. And then unscrew your mic stand where it's screwed onto the table. And put a doubled over fabric of a shirt below it and above it. And then tighten it back up. You feel me? Will that work?
Put it above and below the mic stand and then tighten the mic back onto it.
Yeah, so there's two layers of shirt between it touching the table, everywhere it touches the table.
Okay, right? I'll do that.
So
I'll
mute your mic first. Yep. Boy, did you hear that hum go away, V? Did you notice it?
Slightly. Ever so slightly.
Well, the hornets in my brain can detect things like that very, very easily.
I've noticed.
So we're going to talk about, first of all, let's talk a little bit about government. Government's bad. Why?
Government coerces people to do things. It's opinions that are enforced at the barrel of a gun, basically.
Okay, I'm gonna play statist, and you're gonna play smart person.
All right, here we go.
Okay, so statist, the last thing you just said about opinions.
I was saying that laws are basically opinions that are enforced at the barrel of a gun.
But I obey laws, and I've never had a gun pointed at me.
That doesn't make it right. There's still opinions that people vote on, and instead of having small communities where everybody agrees on them unanimously, it's the majority of people, and then the minority is forced to abide by these rules, which are often victimless crimes that there's laws against.
But it's the social contract, and democracy is the best form of government in the world.
All right, how about you show me your social contract? Let's start there.
It's the Constitution. You're born in America, so you sign it by being born.
That doesn't sound like a legally binding document to me.
Yeah, but, you know, the laws, because we vote on them, and the Founding Fathers.
I'm just going to throw out words here. Founding Fathers and laws and good stuff. That seems like your argument's falling apart there.
Yeah, but everyone believes what I say, so you're wrong.
Exhibit A.
What do you mean, go back to what you said before?
What, you mean the opinions? I was just saying that I don't believe that. What was that?
Let's try it in reverse.
Okay.
I think maybe I can do a better job with this.
All right. I'll be the statist.
Yeah, like what we usually do on this show. I liked your stuff, though. I liked what you said. I think it was a little advanced, though. I think I can bring it down to people who don't know any of what we're talking about, which are a lot of people that listen on radio.
Right.
I'm not saying, I think Nick's back. Because I hear hum. Hi,
God
Nick.
Dang it. I was wondering. I turned it back on to see if he'd hear hum. I put the shirt in.
God dang it on radio. You're 5 Bitcoin.
Did I say dang it?
You said dang it. Exactly
okay,
that.
Okay, good. Good.
You can say that. I don't like it, though. I don't care. But people on radio might mind. We're trying to be gentle for the people on radio. Not that they're snowflakes or anything, but, you know, the ideas of liberty are pretty mind-blowing to people who haven't really experienced them. And I'm going to start with some, like, Liberty 101 today, because we had a little thing lately. I issued a Freedom Fiends Libertarian executive order, which I can do. It's different than the president doing it, because the president makes everyone do it, whether they've agreed to be in his system or not. Whereas the Freedom Fiends, people agree to be on, so you agree to do whatever ridiculous thing I come up with on the spot. But what I came up with, and this is not ridiculous, is that I think that we should we should have, we this show has a prime directive of bringing people to the ideas of liberty, and part of that is not trying to fix other things that some people think is wrong. Like, I don't really have a problem with religion. I'm not religious, but we were talking. I said recently, and this is a topic we're going to cover tonight. I said that I thought that teaching children to unquestioningly love their government is child abuse. And one of our co-hosts jumped in and said, yeah, and I also think that teaching people about kids about religion and that, you know, there's a hell is child abuse. And I said, I don't really want to talk about that. That's not really what this show is about. The ideas that we have are so bizarre, even though they're true, to the average person that I don't want to try to do too much at once. There's a thing in the AA book that it's a story, and it basically says... and it's a true story of a guy who was getting sober, and then like his wife nagged him, like, okay, you stopped drinking, now I want you to quit smoking cigars. And he like tried to quit smoking cigars mm-hmm. right after quitting drinking and ended up back doing both. And that's a pretty common thing.
That's what happens.
Yeah, if you try to do too much at once. So I would say the smoking cigars here is religion, and the drinking to the point of killing you immediately is statism. So we're just going to focus on the statism. So... that's why Nick shouldn't say, God dang it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any problem with anything that anyone does as long as it doesn't harm me or anyone else yeah. directly, you know?
Because any of the problems with religion, too, aren't really problems without the state. You know, you think about like, oh, religious people are bad because they pass all these laws against things that don't have any victim. You know, like they outlaw prostitution and they outlaw drinking on Sundays and things like that. And things that literally have no victim that shouldn't be crimes, but they're using the state to do that. So without the state, religious ideas are simply suggestions.
And I think religion, most religions can be pretty compatible with libertarianism and libertarian yeah. ideas. Yeah. And I think that many of the same principles are shared, I think, yeah. too.
I mean, I actually know people who are very devout Christians and also they're anarchists because they believe that there should be only one ruler and that's God, not the government. So, I mean, it does too, sometimes go hand in hand.
Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, really stressed that a lot, and he's Christian. Mm-hmm. He came up with something that I've never heard elsewhere, and I've heard a lot of people parrot it since then, but the former Freedom Fiends host and my best friend, Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, invented this thought, as far as I know, that when you put country first, you're kicking God off the throne. Now, chew on that, listeners, for a minute. When you worship the government, when you pledge allegiance to a flag, when you say, I'm going to send my kids off to die in a war, a needless war because some president says so or some general says so. We believe in defense. We're not pacifists on this show. I believe, and tell me if you guys disagree, I believe that you should not initiate aggression on somebody, but if someone's trying to stab you, it's okay to shoot them in the face. And I probably believe the same thing on larger levels of geographic regions, but I believe that most wars the United States has fought and most wars most countries fought are over, a lot of them are over religion, a lot of places, but very few military actions that most countries do, I would say, are legitimate. I would say are true self-defense. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that totally.
Yeah, yeah. So we're not going to try to make you quit smoking cigars. We're just going to try to make you quit drinking the addictive and poisonous milk of the state. Now, we were playing a little game while Nick was... Actually, Nick sounds a little quieter. You there, Nick?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I think you fixed it. I like it. And, you know, I used to have like a 30-page booklet PDF that I wrote for new hosts that had things like what I just told Nick to do with his mic stand and what I told Phil the other day about, you know, don't go after any problem you have with religion on this show. Just the only directive is getting rid of the love of the state a little bit or as much as we can. But no new hosts would read that thing, I found. So I quit sending it out to new hosts, and now I just kind of tell everyone on air. But it's okay, because on air, it's a teaching hospital. you know. Kitty, get off there. No.
Maybe we should make it into a song, like you were saying earlier when I thought of the three rules so quickly, and you were like, did you make that into a song?
If
which
your
are,
mic
no.
is humming hard, put a t-shirt under the arm.
Don't bury the lead in, watch the clock.
Yeah, that one I think we could make a song of. Kitty, get off my desk. I don't mind the kitty on my desk, but he keeps wanting to walk on the mixer. And they press buttons when they do that. And there's about 200 buttons and knobs on my mixer. And I can't always tell which one they pressed when I'm not looking and they walk on it, even if I am looking. All right. So we're going to play this game some more. I think we could play it for a couple segments of somebody pretending to be a statist. And
I
want to
be the statist.
You do or don't?
I do. This is awesome. Okay, I like this idea.
All right. So Nick and I are going to give you reasonable arguments of why your beliefs, statist, pretending to be statist, why those beliefs are wrong. So you start. Give me one.
I start?
Yeah.
So I see that you're an anarchist and I just randomly attack you. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, what about the penicillin reserve? What are we going to do about that?
The what?
The penicillin reserve.
I don't
there's
even know
a,
what that is.
Oh, in case you didn't know, there's a reserve of penicillin that the government has just in case a giant plague breaks out because people do develop resistance to antibiotics. Okay. So they actually have real penicillin that no one has ever prescribed just in case something were to happen, they need to prescribe it.
Well, I'd say that in the lack of a government in a free market, that would probably exist anyway. I think Google would probably have that reserve in the lack of free market.
Google or Amazon.
In the lack of the government. You know, we're going to read later the list of quotations, of my quotations that are on imdb.com that people went through and found that I said different places and put on there like 10 years ago. And one of them is that in 10 years, TV will be irrelevant and the major studios will be Amazon and Google. And I pegged that one 10 years ago.
Nice.
All right, we'll be back. All right. Statist versus libertarian.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Velasca Raptor, who I think used to babysit Nick Hazelton when she was 15 and Nick was 5, right? A couple years ago.
Oh my goodness.
A couple years ago.
A few years ago.
10 years ago. Yeah. All right. So good to have you guys on here. We're going to talk about Nick's yaks later because Nick raises yaks, has yaks.
And they're real.
Yaks. They're
it's
real.
A yak.
And Velasca is a yak denier. She, what do you think they are? Like cows that he tape, that he glues fur on or something?
Well, okay, when I first heard the word yak, in my head, I thought to myself, have I ever actually seen a yak? And I tried to form an image of it.
Potato, right?
Yeah, well, basically, I started thinking that it was
something else. Later. This is going to be a whole segment.
Okay.
We're not going to go there. So I'm going to do a really smooth segue into a live read of an ad here. So you talked in the last segment about, like, well, without the government, you know, you were playing the statist. And you said, without the government, who would provide medical support that, you know, can't be gotten elsewhere without the government? Check this out. So I just completed my first order on Purse. And Purse is a great site where you can spend Bitcoin on Amazon and get a discount up to 33% Or if you have Amazon gift cards, you can trade them for Bitcoin. And if you go to the Freedom Fiend site, you can use the wonderful affiliate link we have there on the top right for First Purse. And after an order of $50 of yours is completed, you and the Freedom Fiends will get 0.01 Bitcoin, which right now is about, I think, $11. So there, help yourself and help us and get a discount and spend Bitcoin on Amazon. But what I actually did on Purse was I bought medical equipment for about, boy, such a discount. So I have respiratory problems. They were a lot worse a few years ago. They're getting a little better, but they're still a big kind of a problem. I'm 2.5 days off prednisone. I don't know if you guys have heard me talk. Like, this has been harder to kick than heroin. I used to be a heroin addict like 20-some years ago, and I kicked heroin, and it was kind of hellish. This has been like heck, you know, like almost hell for a year. I've been kicking, tapering off for a year. If you go off too quickly, it can kill you. And even at the rate I was going down from 30 to down to like, you know, a milligram every month or something like that. I don't know what I was doing, but it took, you know, different amounts, different times I'd go down. But every time I'd go down, like, I would just get bone aches where I could barely get out of bed. And I haven't had prednisone since I was down to a half milligram every like 30 hours. And then I forgot to take a dose one day. So I've just stopped. I haven't taken prednisone since 2:30 p.m. on Sunday. And now it's, you know, 11:30 p.m. on Tuesday for me. So I think I'm done. I'm really happy with that.
Good. I hate prednisone.
Yeah, you've been on it, huh?
I was on it when I had mono a few years ago, but I stopped taking it because it made me feel so sick and lowered my immune system. It's horrible.
Yeah, well, it's a miracle drug. I mean, I was pretty much dying without it. I would have died without it. And that's not the state telling me that and me believing it, for those who think that all medicine is bad. It was actual experience. Like, I would try to, you know, I couldn't breathe. And then they gave me these pills. And then I could breathe. It's overprescribed, though, because it temporarily fixes so many things. And it's the cheapest drug there is. It's like as cheap as aspirin. And so it's not uncommon that it's prescribed for anything involving inflammation anywhere in the body.
Yeah.
I'm on a few other medical things for my health issues. And I quit smoking, which made a big difference. But I've been smoking an average of 2 packs a day for 30 years. So 60 pack years is how they measure that.
Wow.
And it just kind of all caught up with me at once. And then I quit smoking and then vaped for 3 years. But I vaped so heavily, I was vaping the equivalent of 6 packs of cigarettes a day.
Gosh.
And then I quit that. And then I was still doing that a couple of years ago. And then it just, like, I couldn't breathe one day. And couldn't breathe at all, and stopped and still couldn't breathe for several months. And so now I'm on oxygen. I'm on it at night always, but I have emergency oxygen during the day, and I have a tank with a regulator, and where I have a bunch of tanks, you know, I just take the tanks in when I'm done and get new ones. But and they used to, like, come to my house and bring me replacement tanks because I couldn't even, like, walk to the car to go drive to get the new ones. And they're only open when my wife's at work. So, but now I can actually go myself and drive to get them. So that's a vast improvement. And so basically, short story long is I bought on Amazon with Purse a second, a backup oxygen regulator in case my other one breaks. And so I can have one at home and one in the car. And I spent like $20 total. And it was like $250.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigiest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone. And that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll Mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, Meow Bit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
Tea with yak milk. It's called a white Kazakhstanian. Is that where yaks come from?
There are yaks in Kazakhstan.
Tibetan stan.
A white Tibetan. That's what you're making. Yeah. All right, so we're talking about the government, why it's dumb, and why everything would be better without it. Everything would be a little noisier without it. That may be another topic tonight, if we have time, of what would the world look like without the government? I think it'd be noisier, but have a lot more freedom. So V was looking up the alleged government reserve of last resort penicillin or some. They have some antibiotic that they've never given out in case there's a widespread strain of something that's resistant to every known antibiotic, allegedly. First of all,
that's what I heard.
I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but I'd be willing to bet that there's rationing in this drug. I'll bet there's not enough for every single American. I would be willing to bet there's enough for the military and the high-level government, and that's about it. Because that's the way it is with some reserves of things. Because those things go bad. And here's the thing. In the free market, I think in the free market, there would be 3D print drug printers in every home. You know, where like if the doctor sent you a recommendation for a drug, it wouldn't really be a prescription. It'd be a recommendation at that point. You just, you know, scan the QR code into your 3D drug printer and it would print the drug. And I'd be willing to bet that with that kind of technology, and you'd have to be like, it'd be like printer cartridges probably. Oh, I'm out of nitrogen. I have to buy the whole cartridge of nitrogen, oxygen, hydrogen, and carbon again. But then there'd be people who'd sell hacked versions of it where you could just replace the carbon because that'd be the one you use the most. All right.
Right.
So you know what? Speaking of governments and what's wrong with them. So when you go to the post office now, you get a receipt that has a tracking number on it. And if you want to track it, it's not as good as UPS or FedEx. Like you have to type, like FedEx, I set up email alerts for everything like that. So it's not sitting on my porch for hours. So I get an email and go pick it up off the porch as soon as I get it. UPS and FedEx, I get that email within minutes, but tracking for USPS doesn't show up for, you know, 4 to 24 hours after it's been delivered in their system. But you still can track things to see when they've been delivered. And here's what's wrong, another thing that's wrong with the government. And everything the government does is done like they do the post office and the
DMV.
The DMV. Yeah, thank you. In other words, slow, inefficiently, and, you know, they only open one line and the other person's sitting there on their phone checking their face beefs and filing their nails and laughing at you while the line goes out the door. So they have on these receipts, they have the, I don't know, like 24-digit tracking number that you have to type in accurately. And then at the bottom, to be able to search it, if you get one thing wrong, you know, the search doesn't work, and which makes sense. But at the bottom of these receipts, they have a QR code. Wouldn't it be great if that QR code were for the tracking number? No, it's for a website for you to review how good your service was at the post office.
Yeah.
Man, that's ridiculous. Those people.
I've seen that before, and it says that they actually want your feedback and that your opinion matters. And I think to myself, no, it really doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Because you get paid regardless.
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
I mean, they're so bad. Like, things like the post office that have a monopoly are so bad that even the people who run them make jokes about their bad service. And like, well, what are you going to do? Start your own post office? No, it's against the law, literally. Yeah, that's why FedEx and UPS always cost more than the post office, because it's against the law in the U.S. to deliver a letter interstate for less than the post office charges. Mm-hmm. Think about that, man. They actually tried to, when email first started, they tried to pass a tax on it. And it was voted down, probably because no one knew what email was in 1989 or whenever this was. Anyway, I'm not going to go through the voting record on that from memory. But people vote for still voted in favor of a 3-cent tax on every email. So things like the post office that don't get any better in 100 years' time are like the post office. And things like FedEx and Amazon that improve every day are what happen when you don't have that much government boot on its neck. So we're going to the break when I was talking about this. I didn't quite get this out, but I bought medical equipment on Amazon for about 1/10 the price that it cost through my insurance company regulated by the government. So the insurance gives you when you get put on oxygen, you know, they rent you an oxygen concentrator and then also bottles for portability. Oxygen concentrator takes oxygen out of the air and puts it in a tube, and that stays in your home. Portable oxygen is the tank, so they have a little regulator, and those go out of the house with you, and you can carry them. The regulator for that, after a certain amount of time, I owned it because I'd paid so much in with insurance that the insurance had paid for it. But I looked on the bill one time, and it was like $197 for that oxygen regulator. And I bought one on Amazon for like less than $20 total with the discount on purse, with the 10% discount on purse. For like, you know, $20 instead of $200. And I had a choice of color. ones from the insurance company, I could only get red. And I was like, well, I already have red. And then I had a choice of green or blue. And I was like, oh, I like the green. So I have a, you know, sporty looking green oxygen thing. So that's the free market versus the government. So to answer the status question, who would hold the reserves of, you know, never before used penicillin or other antibiotics without the government, I would say the free market, and or the free market allowing you to print, you know, non-resistant derivation of the penicillin at home by adding, you know, one molecule or something. And probably, you know, you'd say, but that would kill you. I would say that if the government weren't in the way of drug research the way they were, by now you would probably have, I mean, this is the thing that's starting to happen with AI, is computer programs that can model what a theoretical, as of yet unmade drug would do, and pretty accurately. But it's incredibly expensive. It requires huge amounts of computing power and costs a lot of money because it's proprietary. But without the government, I think that thing would be on your, probably not your phone, but probably on a good home computer.
Yeah, and healthcare is actually what brought me to anarchy in the first place. And there's increasing...
When we say anarchy, let me clarify that. We're not talking about those people that wear all black and throw bombs and throw bottles in Berkeley. We don't like those people.
No, not at all.
Those are leftist anarchists. We are anarcho-capitalists, or also known as voluntarists, more or less. There's a little difference, but I guess I'd say all anarcho-capitalists are voluntarists, but not all voluntarists are anarcho-capitalists, maybe. Right. But for shorthand, yeah, okay. We're going to say the scary A word. But we're sweet, gentle, loving, wonderful anarchists.
Thinking about that recently, about how even I still get the image of chaos when I hear the word anarchy, and I need to think of a better word than using that. I have been using like lowercase libertarian, but that gets confusing too, because then people think Libertarian Party. Still,
this is a discussion that we've been having on this show for 5 years, since before Nick was on the show, and Nick came on the show when he's 15 and he's 18 now. He's a baby. Yeah.
Little
we got
baby.
Nick to drop out of high school too. Did we help Nick?
Yeah, you're a big influence.
Yeah. People are going like, oh, and my God. And he's getting people. That's horrible. But no, it worked out because you're running your own business. And yeah, although you dropped out from the school your dad was principal of, that's kind of heavy.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things.
Is he ashamed of that, or is he proud of that, or is he indifferent, or what?
I think he's kind of proud of that now. He's cool. He's adopted the farm lifestyle with me now. He's
cool.
I converted him.
That's awesome.
How are you going to keep the principals down on the farm once they've seen the lights of the big farm, of the little farm? Wait, never mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess ask me another, how would things work in the government? So Nick wants to be on the anarchy side, right? Or you want to be a statist? Yeah, Nick's going to help me. All right.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. I've drafted you. I've libertarian drafted you. All right. So go ahead, statist V.
All right. I'm going to do one so I actually know the answer to. So how would you deal with expensive health care? How would people be able to pay for that?
I kind of already answered that in that with the free market.
Yeah. There's
and
actually,
I'm not talking about Billy Bob would be mixing up. Well, you know, maybe Billy Bob would be mixing up the bootleg penicillin in his bathtub. But, you know, I saw something the other day that I really liked. There's this coin called Emmercoin, which is kind of does what I was trying to do with .bip, but doesn't do it really as well as it needs to yet to be adopted. But it's one of the top 50 market share cryptocurrencies, and Emmercoin is basically made so you can do things on it. When you first hear people talk about the blockchain and what can be done with blockchain technology like Bitcoin and things other than Bitcoin with other blockchains, which just means other specific networks, one of the things you hear a lot is that it could replace the need for government for things like deeds, you know, property deeds or like patents, like proving first, you know, like that you were the first person to come up with something and publish it, or, you know, and not
necessarily. So you can stifle innovation, right?
No, not necessarily that you'd stifle innovation. I think it'd be useful to just be able to say, yeah, I built that. You know, and have people say, oh, if we're going to give donations to the person who built this, this is the person who actually built it.
I see what you're saying. Right, that makes sense.
So Emmercoin is working on things to do that. Like, they actually do that. And they had this video. I had some issues with the video. It didn't really explain it to how a layman would understand it, but I understood what they were getting at. It has added a technology to where, using their blockchain, you can have like QR codes that come on a product that are absolutely impossible to counterfeit, that you could put on your product or whatever to prove that it's legit. Like, you wouldn't have the problem of counterfeit Rolex watches. I mean, in a free market, I'd say anybody could make a counterfeit Rolex watch and sell it. And I've always said for 5 or 10, you know, 6 years now that, well, but you, the people that really wanted the real one and were willing to pay for it would be able to prove it somehow with the blockchain. Well, Emmercoin has actually like rolled out how to do that. So there, that's how government healthcare would work without the free market.
Worms.
I mean, with the free market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
So we're doing our first segment ever of Who Will Build the Roads, which is going to be a recurrent segment where one of us pretends to be a state lover and the other people say how those things would work. You know, I actually don't spend a lot of time on this kind of stuff of how would things work without the government. My basic answer is just better and probably noisier. because it's kind of a newly minted libertarian things. People who just found liberty tend to spend, you know, 21 hours a day on the internet arguing about this stuff. I said a long time ago, when I was a newly minted libertarian about 10 years ago, that libertarians are people who agree 99.5% on everything and spend the other most of their free time screaming at each other about the other 0.5%.
Infighting,
it's
kind
of true. Yeah, but it's a really good thing to do on a radio show where people aren't really used to the ideas and they think, you know, the libertarian just means Libertarian Party. We're not members of the Libertarian Party. We're not Republicans who smoke pot.
I am.
Which is what the Libertarian... Oh, are you? Yeah, but you're trying to break it from the inside, like James Weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Has Nick stripped naked at a convention yet?
Yeah. No. I was just at one last weekend. I should have done that.
It would not be child porn if you stripped naked at one like it would have been a year ago.
Yeah, the problem is that there's only like 15 people that show up to these ones. So.
Hey, if it's on, if one of them has a camera, the world sees it.
That's so true.
Right.
See, I think you should do it just because I really want that to become a trend. What our other host James Weeks did of stripping naked on national television. I think you shouldn't be able to go to a Libertarian Party meeting without being afraid of seeing naked men, not necessarily in good shape. Nick's probably, I'm not going to say Nick probably looks good naked, but, you know.
He probably does. Let's face it.
Yeah, I think you should put on some weight and then strip naked at a Libertarian Party. Yeah. Or just cover
yourself in yak
meat.
Fur.
Yak fur. Make a yak. What's the name for a toupee for your groin? There's a name for that. People are screaming at the radio. Merkin.
Wait.
Make a yak merkin, Nick.
Yeah. That's it.
All right. So how things would, another thing about how medical things would be a lot cheaper in the free market without the government. I mean, the first thing, there's one thing that could be done like today that would make healthcare a lot cheaper. Health insurance and healthcare is opening up competition between health insurance companies across state lines. They finally opened that up a few years ago for auto insurance, and the price of auto insurance like dropped in half. Well, and if they don't allow that right now, the federal government does not allow that. So if they open that up right now, things would get a lot cheaper. What you got
also,
there, B?
Also, the American Medical Association only approves a certain, they only license a certain amount of physicians per year. So it actually keeps the supply down.
Yeah, because they want to keep their prices up. Yeah,
right. Because it's made of physicians. The group is.
And,
yeah,
you know, we have a person on the show who's an attorney, practicing attorney, who used to be a state prosecutor, who is now like thinks those guys are mostly evil. Who's a full on libertarian. He also wrote a book called "Free Is Beautiful: Why Catholics Should Be Libertarian." It's Randy England. He's on. Mm-hmm. It's on Amazon if you want to check it out. And he says that he thinks lawyers should not have to be licensed. That sounds insane. And that's something that people who are not lawyers often say, but he's a lawyer and he says it. My wife's a paralegal and I think all pretty much, do you believe that, baby? She's asleep. What? No comment. Okay, no comment. But here's the thing of how I think that would work without licensure. I heard this thing the other day of someone saying like in some state, in Idaho, you can be a private detective without any licensure. You could be an electrician in Wyoming without any licensure, but they have guilds, and like to be in the guild, you have to be good and pass tests and things. The guilds are voluntary, and you pay money to be in them, but or it's like a private licensing board, and in a free market, the poorest people would probably go for the cheapest thing, but if you want the good stuff, you'd go for the thing licensed by the guild, and you'd use the Emmercoin QR code to prove that it's actually from the guild. The person would have an ID badge or whatever, or the product would have the product code on it. So there's a lot of ways that innovation could work to replace the need for government in a lot of things. In everything, I believe, but it would take a while, but I can answer right now why a lot of things could be done in the free market. And also how, you know, like people say, like, well, poor people, I haven't got time, this one's longer. They say poor people wouldn't be able to afford the good stuff. Well, it'd be a lot easier to donate to help poor people in the lack of a government. Because right now, with a lot of regulations, most places you donate money, most charities, like 80% of it go to operational expenses, at least. So there. Someone just started an app. I wish you could remember the name of it. Email me if someone can remember it. Someone just started an app. What is it?
Is it Donor C? Is that what you're thinking?
Yes.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by Bipcot. Thank you for being a fiend.
Is the Freedom Fiends. You're listening live. It's the second hour of the Freedom Fiends. I'm here with Galoshka El Reptor and Michael W. Dean. And I couldn't think of anything more clever. Sorry, guys. I made one. It was good. I had a yak one. And I was like trying to remember it.
She doesn't have an animal wrestling name yet. I am the Iron Hamster. We're going to have to come up with one.
Well, I am a Velociraptor.
Okay,
so
you're the virgin velociraptor. Now, we'll think of something.
You like someone that? Will all believe right. that.
The the blessed virgin velociraptor.
I like this.
Yeah, I like it too.
Right, I was just thinking, well, we'll get to that later, but eventually Nick's going to have to tell me what sound yaks make, eventually.
I can do that. Yeah, that's exactly
Go
what
ahead,
it is.
Nick. Do it. Yeah, because I've asked him so many times, what does the yak say? And Nick goes,
what does the yak say?
All right.
That's
so
great.
We're talking about, we're gonna do one more who would build the roads question, because in the first, there's two stations that join us at night in the second hour that do not carry the first hour. One's in Sundance, Wyoming, and the other's in Belle Fouche, South Dakota. I love saying Belle Fouche.
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out. Hello, Belle Fouche. Hello, Sundance. So Who Will Build the Roads is a new segment we're going to do once a month or so, where one of us pretends to be someone who's not woke and enlightened and I'm not going to use that. Someone who doesn't understand the simple concepts of liberty, which basically boil down to not only do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, and, you know, basically don't hit. You know, they teach you that in kindergarten, don't hit, don't steal. That's the non-aggression principle, but it also includes don't contract other people to hit and steal for you, which is what you do when you support governments, because governments always end up just taking away people's everything and charging them for the pleasure, basically. And right. You know, they'll shoot your dog, they'll shoot your kids, they'll shoot you, they'll talk you into volunteering to get shot to help Wall Street's coffers. And I'm not speaking ill of the military. I'm not speaking ill of the people who go serve in the military. I'm saying it's not the best idea, and really research what you're doing. You're basically putting money in Wall Street's coffers. And the U.S. involvement, most of the U.S. involvement overseas is not fighting the war on terror. It's creating the war on terror. It's, you know, for every wedding party they blow up and kill 70 people to get one person who might be a bad guy, they are creating 70 more terrorists potentially. You know, think about this. Think about if someone from another government blew up your daughter's wedding and killed your daughter, what would you do? Would you just say, well, we should just leave that other country alone? No, you'd go there with a gun and shoot them. Or right. If they came to your country, you'd shoot them. So I'm not saying everyone in the Middle East is a freedom fighter and they're good people. And there's a lot of bad people. But I'm saying, like, the process that creates more of those terrorists is what the United States government does. I kind of liked Ron Paul's answer to 9/11, which was basically, as he always was, the constitutional answer. And the Constitution is a whole nother, I didn't sign it, but, you know, it exists, but the government doesn't even play by those rules. But his answer was letters of marque. Do you guys even know what that is?
No.
It's a little used thing in the Constitution. It's basically deputizing pirates to go fight your war. You know, that's what he said. Basically was like, you know, go get Osama bin Laden by allowing people to go get Osama bin Laden, and they can keep his riches when they catch him. That was basically Ron Paul's answer. You know, I kind of liked it. It was better than just an unending war on terror where they, you know, feel up your grandma and make her take her diaper off in front of everybody at the airport. All right. So,
yeah, TSA's got to be one of the worst government agencies. I think that really everyone, even people who are statist, I think everyone can agree that we don't need the TSA. They haven't stopped anything from happening. The shoe bomber was found on the plane.
By people on the plane.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And stopped by people on the plane. They just tackled
it. Right. But while I'm playing Captain Statist, I can go ahead and say one thing. So my father actually was raised in a trailer park, and he didn't have enough money to go to college, so he joined the Army. And that's what allowed him to makes a fair amount of money now. But yeah, he's always worked for the government. He's retired here and there, and you know, he also became a police officer.
How would people in the trailer park end up with a good job without the Army? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, let's talk about that, because a lot of people do
What's he do to make a lot of money?
He actually, I think he just recently retired from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. He went Army to police to National Center. He's a director of case analysis.
First of all. Yeah.
That's his title. So he looks at kidnapping cases and things of that nature.
Without the government, there would be similar agencies, privately funded, that would hire people who didn't go to the Army. They would hire smart people who were self-taught or went to, you know, some private free market college, or more likely learned online. I mean, pretty much, have you guys heard about Khan Academy? K-A-H-N Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Nick?
Yep.
It's an online, for people who don't know about it, Google it, look on YouTube for it. It's an online school. I think it's like K through 12 and beyond. You can pretty much learn anything you could learn in grade school, high school. I mean, you could like learn to read on this, and they have, you know, graduated classes of like, you finish this video, take this test, then go to the next video, and then the next video until you've completed a course. And it's everything from like simple math and English to other languages to like advanced biochemistry, things like that. So I think without the government, people in trailer parks, and you're like, how would they afford their internet connection? Internet connections would be a lot cheaper without the government. And don't tell me that Al Gore built the internet, because that's just a big fib.
ARPANET.
Without the government, computers would be more powerful and smaller than they are now and cost less. That's what I think. But I think without the government,
space shuttles would be better.
I think internet. I'm sure internet. Your internet account, your internet service provider would be cheaper, because right now there's basically a monopoly or duopoly in most cities. There's only one, or sometimes two, but no more than two allowable by law providers of a particular type of internet. Like, there'll be one or two cable providers, usually one DSL provider, and sometimes one satellite provider. And you say like, but there's a limited number of wire. No, it's all wireless now. You wouldn't need that. And with existing cable, with ever expanding compression algorithms, like you can, the reason they laid cable and started doing that in the 80s, laying fiber optic cable, is on the same amount of cable, more and more over years' time, you can send more and more data through the same cable. So that's a resource that gets better with the existing resource, with the software around it improving. So I think I answered your question, how your trailer park daddy
and to add on to that, you actually, we pay a lot of money in, well, I can't say we.
Taxes.
People pay, right, in taxes and communication fees. I think I was looking at the breakdown of my cell phone bill recently, and it was like $10 worth of taxes and fees. It's ridiculous.
You know, there's a Saturday Night Live skit. It was like a fake commercial, which really influenced a lot of the commercials I make, even the real commercials, but also the fake commercials. And I was also heavily influenced by Cheech and Chong. You guys know what that is?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow, really? I'm amazed. there was a commercial like in the 80s on Saturday Night Live that was like, it was a commercial for a bank, but it was the Bank of Doug, and it was a guy at his house, and it was like, it showed an apartment. This is back when they had answering machines. It showed an apartment, and you heard a shower going in the other room, and you heard somebody humming in the shower, and you hear the answering machine go off in the dark room, and you see it turn on. It's like, hi, this is the Bank of Doug. Doug's away from the phone right now, but leave your account number and your deposit, and Doug will take care of it when he returns. And it seemed absurd, but why not?
Yeah.
Why not, you know, why not let private, small, unregulated organizations hold your money? Although, really, you don't need that anymore with blockchains, because Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies do everything that a bank does except password recovery, and they're even working on that, because now you can have a password that's like 20 words, you know, a phrase basically, and you can remember a phrase, or you can even write it down somewhere. You could carve it on a wall, you could graffiti it on the side of your house, and, you know,
write it down and put it in your safe,
put it backwards order, spray paint it on your wall. No one would know what it is, most people. So anyway, I think we've solved all the who will build the roads. I want to do a shout out.
No, but really, who will build the roads?
Oh. Well, right now, basically, Tony Soprano builds the road. So anyone but Tony Soprano, because all roads are currently built. All roads cost way more money than they would. This is another thing, too. Without the government, everyone would be 7 to 8 times richer and not necessarily have 7 to 8 times as many U.S. dollars. But, you know, the money, the buying power of each person would be much more. Because, first of all, you pay half or more of your money to taxes, even if you don't pay taxes. Just in the fact that when you buy an item, the price is vastly inflated because of the land tax on the store, on the physical location, the gas tax on the trucks that brought it, et cetera, yeah, down the whole chain of delivery.
Every state of at every level of manufacture, it's taxed.
Okay, yeah. So who would build the roads? Walmart would build the roads. Basically, people, well, first of all, I find this a bunk question because the roads are already built. The answer is who would maintain the roads? Probably. I would say Walmart. I would say industry. I would say Google. I would say people that have a vested interest in wanting to get people to a particular location. You know, and some roads would probably be toll roads, but the tolls would probably be way lower than toll roads, because now toll roads exist on top of the state tax that you pay to live in that state and the federal tax you pay to live in that country. You know, so you're paying for the roads twice, if not more. You're paying them for twice, and then you're paying them again when you buy a candy bar because of the tax on there. And, what would happen to the children without governments? They would learn a lot more. I learned everything I learned in high school by seventh grade. There was nothing they taught me that I wasn't learning on my own after that. And I was just slowed down to the point of boredom to where I acted out and got in trouble. Because, I mean, if you take someone with an IQ of 147, like 143, like I have, and put them in a class with people who are just above retarded, which there are those in a public school class, they're going to be bored, man. Classes be smaller, online, cheaper, and better. So there. You kids can get jobs when you're 15. Why not?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hi there. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Purse.io is a great website where you can spend Bitcoin on Amazon or trade Amazon gift cards for Bitcoin. I use Purse myself and I love it. You can also get discounts on Amazon. You can get 5% right this minute, or if you place your order and wait a day or so, you can name your discount and get 10%, 20%, even up to 33% off. You can try Purse right now and get 0.01 Bitcoin free after you complete your first order over $50. And if you go through the Freedom Fiends link, Purse will also send 0.01 Bitcoin to the Freedom Fiends. Help yourself to some agorism and help Liberty Media while you're at it. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Purse link at the top right, even if you've used Purse before. Or enter the referral code FIENDS when you sign up at purse.io. That's FIENDS. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra. Do it. mighty group of, I don't know, what do we call it, man? That's the problem.
State abolitionists.
I like that. Kind of long, but I like
advocates of freedom.
I like non-statists.
Yeah.
I was thinking
free market advocates. I don't know.
The problem is there's a problem with everything. If you say you're a voluntarist, people don't know what that means. What it actually means is you believe in that all interaction should be voluntary. No one should be coerced. I said it really well one time. I think, you know, even if you want to go to ultra minarchism, if you think that there need to be governments for very basic things, because what's the theory? Governments do things poorly, so they should only do really important things. But, you know, if you believe that, like, I'll go that far. I'd like that more than what we have now. But in that situation, I think that changing your nationality should be as easy as changing your cell phone plan.
Yeah.
And anybody who's saying, but America, here's the thing. You're brainwashed, because if you believe Merca, you believe all the evil performed by a bunch of bureaucrats is your responsibility, and it's a trick to get you to go along with the worst ideas that work against your plan. That's what nationalism is and patriotism. Worship of that flag is you putting that flag before your God, and it's, you know, it's making your country into a god. It's a false idol, is what it is.
It is.
Try to be a little less less tear jerky, jumping to say those hymns to the state. We're not saying this like, oh, you know, we're not anti-American. We're not those commies. We're capitalists. We believe a lot of the same things you believe, listeners. We're looking out for your best interest. We don't like to see you harmed by being sucked into that stuff. And it's entrenched, and you will never know freedom while you are still saying my country right or wrong. Because more and more it's wrong. You know, think about this. The average listener of this show probably hates Obama. We did not like Obama. He's a liar and a socialist, and his feet stink. But
And he drone bombs children,
and so does Trump. And he's also a socialist, and his feet stink. So if you hated Obama and felt like you were living under a tyranny now, or if you're the rare liberal listener to this show on the radio who thinks you're living under nearly Hitler now, under Trump, here's the thing. Like, if patriotism wasn't so entrenched, who the president is wouldn't matter, because he wouldn't have the power to ruin your life and take away your guns and take away your weed and do other things that have no victim but punish you like you're a criminal. All right, so I have a problem with everything we call ourselves. Voluntarist sounds like you build houses for Habitat for Humanity. Libertarian sounds like you worship, you know, Libertarian Party. Anarchist sounds like you throw bombs. What are some other names? Abolitionist is one that's popular. I think former freedom fiend Bill Buport invented using that for what we are.
I think Lysander Spooner.
Did he really?
He called himself an abolitionist.
All right. Then Spooner there we did. Go. Bill never claimed it. I just first heard it from him. So you're right. Thank you, guys. Gals. So the problem with that one, though, is that it takes away from people. Like, people are like, oh, you're making fun of slavery or something. You know, there's a problem with all these terms. So I don't know what we are. It might be easier to define what we are not, which is a weird kind of thing, but it's in some situations it's easier to say what you're not than what you are. And I think that a lot of times libertarian type people are more similar in what they are not. Although I don't want to do any mouse pocketing. I don't want to say we and, like, you know, like I got a mouse in my pocket. I don't want to drag people into something, you know, like when people say, what we need to do with our troops, you know, the obvious answer is, oh, you have troops? I don't have troops.
Yeah.
Like Ian Freeman says. But so I don't know if there's a good name. Do you guys have a name before we go on to Nick's yaks on how they don't exist?
Nope.
All right.
No, I don't have a name, but I'll say this. I think the simplest way to break down what I believe, at least, is that I promote liberty, and that means freedom from external controls, and especially coercion. So that's like the easiest way to break it down. I don't like violence. I don't like people being controlled.
Yeah, and government's pretty. What did you look when you've looked up? Why do we need government? V, what did you Googled that? What did it say basically? What did it break down to?
Yeah, it said that. Well, one of the things was, why do we need government? Why is it important? It said that we need it to protect us from a small group of tyrannical people that would control resources and control individuals in the area.
So we need government to protect us from government.
Right. That's what I read.
Yep. That's what I read too. And good show notary there. Looking that up.
Indeed.
Good radio.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Keep it short.
Okay.
Yak debate. I'm moderating the yak debate.
So Vlashka doesn't believe that yaks exist. She thinks that I have Scottish Highland cattle, which are, they look like yaks, I have to admit. They look very similar, but they're not related. I mean, they're very distant cousins, but I promise they're not related genetically. I don't have the genetic tests, but if you look at them, I promise that you won't find the same color patterns. Yeah. And you won't find the same horn shape.
I think they don't have the same physiology. Crush on you, and she's she's poking you, trying to get your attention.
He's starting to convince me. I was looking at pictures of them side by side on the break, and I realized that the yaks actually have hair that resembles '90s boy band hair. It's kind of curly in the front, you know, like eyes. Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
And then you have the yaks, or sorry, the Highland cattle that look more like early 2000s emos. Yeah. Flock or well, that works too. Emo or you know, flock of seagulls.
Yeah. So are we done? No, go ahead.
He finally just convinced me, but I mean, honestly, I totally thought that it was like a name for something else. I hadn't seen one. I hadn't really heard of it that much. That
you don't
like
see
a worm
everywhere.
Farm.
So yeah, worm farms are very common actually, because you know you can buy fishing worms anywhere near a fishing hole. They sell fishing worms nearby, even in Walmart. The Walmart where I live sells worms. Do you know that?
Wow.
Yeah. Not ridiculous. Oh,
well, this is Virginia. We have them quite often everywhere. Nightcrawlers. Yeah,
worm vending machines with cute girls with floppy hats standing in front of them.
I can't say I've ever seen the vending machines, but you know, you'll see like handwritten signs in little corner stores like, we got nightcrawlers.
See, they should just say worms, and then you'd think it's part of a conspiracy of underground fiends fans.
I'll talk to them about that.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I don't know, man. I don't know.
So I win.
More. I don't know.
You
is there a prize?
You win because I was holding up two pictures side by side. I'm just saying it's weird because the only time I'd ever really heard of them is through Ren and Stimpy. So I was like, that's not a real thing, you know.
I hope the yaks will become more popular, but they are pretty rare, and if. Most people that I talk to actually don't. I don't. They don't know what a yak looks like.
Right. I was thinking water buffalo in my head.
This brings up another without the government. Blah blah blah. Another common thing is without the government, who would protect endangered species? Eating them would make them not endangered because.
Right.
Think about the things that people eat commonly: cows, chickens.
The American bison got saved that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my state mm-hmm. is where they're saved here in Idaho and Montana. I drive by bison sometimes. You know, anything that people like to eat that are legal to commercially farm will never be extinct. They'll never mm-hmm. go extinct. So you know. This sounds bizarre, but how do you save the endangered condor? You save it with, you know, condor egg omelets.
Yeah.
Because then people would farm condors and they'd never go extinct. So
I believe that most
animals, they're tasty too.
I believe that most conservation funds in the, at least the United States come from hunting. From hunters that, you know, they hunter's buy licenses. Their tags and yep.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from. And that's, you know, that's why we still have elk and bison.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm not saying that it's good that the government does it, but, you know, I don't know that that's why that's the only, well, maybe that's why fair. There are still bison, but I don't think that wouldn't happen without that because bison are delicious. There's always been a market for them. So people would be farming them even if the government wasn't around.
Yeah, no, the bison were bought by private farms when there was about 1,000 of them left in the wild, and then the population boomed. So it really had nothing to do with the government.
I think I'm going to end up on...
I think I wrote a paper on this.
I think Fiends Out of Context tomorrow is going to have quote me saying, yeah, I'll bet there's a lot of tasty endangered species. All right. So is that settled? Can we move on?
Fine.
Can we move on to me?
Okay.
Move on to me. So I sent you guys a note. I want to talk about this book I'm planning on writing. And, you know, you would say, well, why do you want to talk about this? Like even, you know, mentioning the name of the book idea. The name of the book that I want to write is called The 4.5 Rules of Life. Or the 4.5 rules in life. And it's kind of going to be a self-help book, but it's going to be libertarian propaganda hidden in a self-help book. Now, I've already kind of written one of these. I wrote User's Manual for the Human Experience, but it does have the word libertarian a couple times in it. And it was written when I was kind of green as a libertarian. I was still kind of figuring things out. It's still a very useful book. I mean, there's like book clubs that read my book, User's Manual for the Human Experience. But, I think I can write one that's better, and it's going to be the 4.5 rules in life. And somebody could say, you know, why do you want to talk about this? Somebody might steal your idea. Well, there's a quote I said, there's a thing I said a long time ago that someone took and put on a page of quotes of me. It was in my book, $30 Film School. And it says, the best ideas cannot be stolen because the best ideas include yourself as an integral part of the formula. Is it integral or integral?
Integral.
Part, yeah. So, you know, somebody could go write a book right now called The 4.5 Rules of Life that have my ideas, but it wouldn't be the book I'd write. So it wouldn't really, you know, I'm not afraid of it being stolen.
Can I read this dating quote that you have on here? Because it's hilarious.
The dating quote? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just read the quotes. I'll talk about the book another night. Let's read all the quotes. Let's
start from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, no, start from the dating quote because you seem like you really want to
read. Dating seven women isn't seven times the fun. It's seven times the hassle. And one of them always feels like killing you.
Yep. And that's attributed to Cash Newman, but it's something that I said and put in the fictitious character Cash Newman's mouth in my first book, Starving Company, Beautiful Women. It's absolutely true. So there. I mean, I if you have questions, I'll answer them. But
well,
that's
yeah.
What?
Well, I was going to say, apparently McAfee, John McAfee experienced the same thing when he was living in Belize. He was living with many women, and he said that one of the, you know, there's always one of them who wanted to kill him kind of thing. So I believe it. Yeah.
And he's a millionaire. I was broke. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's probably more to fight
over. What's the limit?
If you're a millionaire. What's the limit?
Can you do six? Can you have three?
I think seven is bagging your limit. Although, I think more than one, one of them's occasionally going to want to kill you. It just increases the amount of times per year one of them wants to kill you, the more you have.
Ooh.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a probability thing. I mean, even if they're all on the same page, it's still a probability thing, you know?
Yep. It is. You're playing the odds. And you know, it's something everyone should do once if they're capable of it. Most men aren't capable of doing anything to attract, you know, dating seven women at once who all know about each other. I was, and I didn't like it.
It's a lot.
Yes, some good stories from it. I'll say that. I do. Yep. And you can read those stories in my first novel, Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women, which I printed 1,000 copies of paperback in the year 2000. This is before you could go online and print on demand. I actually went to a print shop and paid $4,000 to get 1,000 copies printed. They're way out of print. Sometimes you can find used copies on Amazon, but you can download the PDF of it free. every Freedom Fiends episode lately, in the notes, there's a link. It's got a picture of a syringe, and it says, click on this filthy thing to read Cash Newman's first book or something like that, and that's it.
So, excellent.
All right. So read down the list. Nick.
Come on, Nick.
I remember when sex was safe and music was dangerous.
I do, and that kind of goes back to the... the funny thing is, it's like, kids today don't know either of those things, you know? Like, I can remember, I had about 3 years of sex with impunity, because I started having sex when I was 14 in 1964, so 1980. AIDS existed in 1980, but no one had heard of it. Like, it started to be a scary thing in, like, 85, 86, to where, like, people would get tested. I got tested in 86. And so I had about 6 years of safe-ish sex, I guess I'd say. And music used to be dangerous. Like, you know, punk rock used to get you beat up. Music used to come with a lifestyle that was scary and violent and dangerous.
And fun.
And fun, yeah. even punk rock now is safe. It's like, you know, all the edges are removed. Like Green Day, I would say the closest to a like big band that's still kind of dangerous is Rancid. They still kind of sound real to me. And I know people who know them, and it's not an act. They live it. But, you know, but they're kind of socialist, too. They give a lot of money to, like,
yeah,
you know.
Most of them are.
Rock the vote and vote Democrat kind of things.
I like Bad Religion.
They were dangerous at one time, but, you know, they're safe now. They've been around forever. I saw Bad Religion in a club that held 99 people. It had about 150 in it.
Wow.
But it was the CW Saloon in San Francisco in probably 1989, maybe. They also did a record that sucked, that no one remembers. It was called, I think it was called Into the Unknown. And it, like, they became a synth rock band. And
what?
one of the reviews of the record said, I took the record out of the sleeve. I put it on the turntable, which is a thing that used to be.
Right.
I listened to the first song. I took it off the record and threw it out the window into the unknown.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking he's going to say he threw it out the window, isn't he?
Yeah. And then, it was Bad Religion. Is that who we're talking about?
Yeah, Bad Religion.
Bad Religion. And then, like, their next record was immediately, like, back to their punk rock roots. They've been the same. They've been playing the same song on 20 different records since. But, yeah.
I like it.
I remember reading that interview, that review in Maximum Rock and Roll magazine. That was 1983. Yeah, it was. It had piano. It had a prog rock. It sounded like,
oh wow,
I don't know, like Emerson, Lake and Palmer, like bad Emerson, Lake and Palmer or something.
All right, the next quote I can relate to. Computers are an interesting mixture of science and voodoo.
Yeah,
and as someone who's dabbled in coding, I totally agree with that.
Yep. There's some voodoo in there too. I've dabbled in it enough to know I can't really do it, but I've looked at it and I can read code and kind of figure out what's going on. And,
right.
Enough to where I can, there's styles of code. Like there's elegant code that works. There's bonehead code that works. There's code that like the person's trying to impress whoever's looking at the code. There's code that has way more lines than it needs to. You know, it's like poetry. Mm. It's poetry over math. That's code. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Ever struggle for the right thing to say at a party? Want something to break the ice? Get the free Freedom Fiends Android app, Pocket Alibi. Pocket Alibi will help you have things to say. It'll replace verbal communication when you're not speaking with somebody.
I value your input.
It'll make you the hit of any party.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Will it work?
Not a guarantee.
It's a great icebreaker, too. Comes loaded with hundreds of original funny sayings with great voices and great recording quality. It's arranged into 7 categories. Disclaimers.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Excuses.
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Advice. Fun too.
Get off me, kitty.
Libertarian pickup lines.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
State speech is hate speech.
Bark, bark for the state.
Get Pocket Alibi today on Google Play for free. Again, search for Pocket Alibi. That's Pocket Alibi, A-L-I-B-I.
Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi.
Does this app make me look fat?
State to be a private detective. It's one of the few states that's like that. And there's some private detectives organization that hate that thing and think that they want to pass, basically they want to pass roadblocks to new people coming in and doing the same job so they can have a monopoly, you know, a cartel on their thing. And one of the things they want to do is say that everybody who is a private detective should be required by law to carry $500,000 of liability, general liability insurance for any number of things. You know, if they harm something while they're out doing their job and get sued, if they say this person is the person that's doing the crime against you and it turns out to not be that person, if they're wrong and there's a lawsuit, you know, anything like that. I think that's a really good idea for a private detective. I don't think it should be mandatory. Here's the way around that, and here's the free market answer to that is, you know, the old, experienced, entrenched private detectives that want to charge more and think they're better than the new guys coming up who might charge less, or new gals, they start a guild or an organization, you know, the Idaho best in the world, best in Idaho private dicks, PDs, whatever you want to call them. And to be in that organization, you'd have to be approved by that organization, pay some dues, and you'd have to have $500,000 in liability insurance. Now, somebody could pay less and hire one of the people who's, you know, you're not so sure about, but if you want the best, you'd go to these people who have this organization. But it doesn't require a law, because a law requires police enforcement, which requires a spy organization, it requires snitching, it requires kicking in doors of innocent people. It just causes problems. So
yeah,
so there, it's covered. So this thing, this quote of mine, computers are an interesting mix of science and voodoo, and you talked about it being apparent in coding. It is. I actually said it before I knew anything about coding. I said it in using computers, and I said this in like 1996, probably, you know, when I was very early into using computers, when I first got on the web. And I said it because when you do exactly what you're supposed to and computers don't give you the appropriate result, you know, like once in a while, a computer doesn't do what it's supposed to all the time for everybody. You get failures, you get, you know, you
blue
get
screen of death, page,
blue screen of death, all that stuff. And that's the voodoo to me. And of course, it all probably comes down to science, but what is it?
It does, saying? But we'll just leave it at voodoo because that makes more sense.
Yeah, because yeah, you know, that's what voodoo is, and that's what a lot of religion is in early and primitive religions, especially are primitive people trying to explain technology and science they don't understand. All right, so going on to the, you know, we skipped the first one, and I've actually worded this a little different now. He who dies with his art on the most hard drives wins.
That's like my favorite quote from you.
Yeah, it's my driving mechanism. Although I wrote all of these, some lady who is a big fan of mine, like, put these on IMDb, who is kind of a stalker actually, but
that's impressive.
I have her blocked. Well, it was a fan that kind of turned into a stalker, but you know, she went through like my first three books and my first two movies and found all these and put them on IMDb in the, you know, trivia department. So yeah, I wrote all this before I was a libertarian. So now I'd say he who gets, you know, he or she, whosoever gets the most liberty on the most hard drives wins. Like, I'm kind of happy now. Like, I said when I was a kid, a little kid, like, you know, if I could write a joke that everyone in the world knew and thought was funny and no one ever knew I wrote it, I'd be happy. And that's still kind of how I am with not just jokes, but with everything. And you know, the Freedom Fiends have created some phrases that a lot of people use that haven't even heard of the Freedom Fiends use. An example is, don't drone me, bro. The first time, if you go out back and search on the internet, Freedom Fiends show title, you know, 7 years ago or six, 5 years ago was the first time that was said. A lot of things like that. The taxation is theft. You helped do that. A whole bunch of stuff. But anyway, like, you know, I do stuff. I try to do stuff that gets out there, and I don't worry that much if my name's on it. It's kind of fun if I get to go along for the ride. But, you know, people share the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. My name's in it, but if you say Michael Dean, they don't know who that is, but they know the movie. Things like that. That's the thing to strive for, I think. And if you do it right, you'll make a little money, too.
Worms.
But yeah. Yeah, I think the art and the message should be the first priority. Mm-hmm. Worms.
Wow.
But, you know, if you end up having 7 girlfriends, that's just gravy. Tell me. We'll read more of these all the time. Good show, y'all.
Yeah, it was fun.
We're not having any dropouts. Drop out.
I keep everybody off.